Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with today's expected announcement by Donald Trump that he is taking the United States out of the 195-nation Paris Accords on combating climate change, claiming he is fulfilling, quote, my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens. Without bothering to analyze the absurd and specious justifications Trump offered, we will speak with Bruce Bartlett, a former senior policy analyst in the Reagan White House and Deputy Assistant Secretary for Economic Policy at the Treasury Department during the George H.W. Bush administration. He joins us to discuss his concern that, quote, the evidence is becoming overwhelming that Trump lacks the temperament, basic knowledge, or intelligence to be a minimally competent president, and the deeper problem of a leader unable to absorb essential information who listens to the white nationalist worldview of a bitter, failed Hollywood producer driven by hatred of liberals, rather than the only adults in his inner circle, Gary Cohn and General McMaster, whose tenuous tenure lasts only as long as they are prepared to cover up Trump's alarming incompetence. We will assess the even greater danger to the nation if one of the adults quits in disgust, only to be replaced by another Bannon, as well as Bruce Bartlett's forthcoming book, The Truth Matters, A Citizen's Guide to Separating Facts from Lies and Stopping Fake News in Its Tracks, and his article at The Guardian, Donald Trump's Incompetence is a Problem, His Staff Should Intervene. Then we'll examine an alarming new report on the real terrorist threat facing the nation that the White House and the Washington political establishment is ignoring or covering up, the fact that 400 Saudi and Kuwaiti students living in the United States, mostly on government scholarships, have joined terrorist groups, mainly ISIS, with some of them returning back to the United States. Ali Alamed, the co-author of the new report, From American College Campuses to ISIS Camps, How Hundreds of Saudis Joined ISIS in the U.S., joins us to discuss how the Saudi government has blocked this information from the U.S. government and the failure of American intelligence and the lack of coordination amongst federal agencies. Then finally, we'll look into the impact that Trump's immigration policies are having on migrant workers and their families, with American-born kids living in fear that their parents could be deported at any moment. Gabriel Thompson, a journalist who has worked with immigrant laborers in the lettuce fields of Arizona and the poultry plants of Alabama, joins us to discuss his latest book, Chasing the Harvest, Migrant Workers in Californian Agriculture. And joining us now is Bruce Bartlett, who worked on Capitol Hill for many years at the White House for Ronald Reagan and at the Treasury Department for George H.W. Bush. His latest book out soon is The Truth Matters, A Citizen's Guide to Separating Facts from Lies and Stopping Fake News in Its Tracks. And he has an article at The Guardian, Donald Trump's Incompetence is a Problem, His Staff Should Intervene. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bruce Bartlett.
Happy to be here.
And what's your sense then of the role of the White House staff, apart from the fact that there's prolific leaking going on? It seems to be torn between those people inside who are appalled by the president's behavior and those that are sort of covering up the president's behavior. But I don't see a lot of adult supervision, even though you've got people like General McMaster and General Mattis there. Who does he listen to at the end of the day?
Up until recently, we've thought that he listened to his daughter, Ivanka, but she was quite adamant that her father not pull the United States out of the Paris Accord, and he has apparently just done so, according to press reports. So it's a serious problem that we have a president who is mercurial, not very bright, extremely ill-informed, who makes decisions apparently based on what he sees on Fox TV, more so than anything that his staff tell him.
So would it make a difference if, I think this is a broader problem that we have as a country about the fact that there may not be any consensus anymore about what is true. You know, you have these different universes. Liberals get their information from MSNBC, conservatives from Fox, Christians from Christian TV. So people do what's called reality shopping. It gets a bit scary when the president of the United States does his own reality shopping. I would have thought that the first dose of reality that a president gets every day is the presidential daily briefing. And what do we know about that? And who actually gets that? I read recently that Jared Kushner gets the presidential daily briefing, and then he passes on his version to the president.
No, I don't think that's right. I think Kushner gets a separate briefing that I don't think is the same as the one the president gets. But he is, has been given certain responsibilities in the foreign policy area that, he needs that information. I think more information is better than less. But it appears from, from press reports, that probably based on leaks, that Trump's attention span is just so short, and he's not capable of grasping anything other than the simplest issues, and the people who brief him each day are struggling to hold his attention, to get him to pay attention, to understand what it is they're telling him. And they've talked about how they have to use quote-unquote killer graphics, like you might for a child, to get him to understand some of the things that he's hearing in these briefings. And apparently he gets easily bored and says things like, well, you told me that same thing yesterday, as if a problem in the foreign policy area is a one-day problem and then it just goes away. We've seen this before. George W. Bush was very much the same, and that got us into a serious problem with 9/11 when he was not listening carefully to what the intelligence officials were telling him.
But at least George W. Bush came out of a sort of tradition of, came from a political family. You work for his father. It sounds like the problem with Donald Trump is that he's been loaded up with a whole bunch of ridiculous ideas. And in terms of the going back to the PDB, the Presidential Daily Briefing, apparently General Flynn had a lot of influence over Trump. And Flynn had some incredible jihad against the CIA and fed Trump all kinds of paranoid things. And that led Trump to talk about the intelligence community as a bunch of Nazis. So do we know at this point how much has he shed the baggage of sort of ludicrous ideological ideas and gotten an education about how the real world is? Because that is the most critical learning curve that we're all depending upon, because we got to have somebody in there with the nuclear codes that knows what the hell's going on in the real world.
Well, the evidence that we've seen over the last 4 or 5 months that Trump has been president is that he's still at the bottom end of the learning curve, that he has not risen up that curve to any degree whatsoever. And I can only speculate that he's leaning more and more on Steve Bannon as his key advisor on every important issue, and that the people in designated positions like General McMaster, General Mattis, are not really having much influence. My own area of specialization is tax policy, and I worked at the Treasury Department, and I don't see any evidence that Secretary Mnuchin is having any impact here at all. It's just ludicrous to jump with both feet into some of these complex issues. And they're complicated enough on the domestic side with things like tax reform, but I wouldn't venture into an area like foreign policy without well briefed and experienced staff person holding my hand. But Trump seems to have no concerns about that whatsoever.
And again, I'm speaking with Bruce Bartlett, who worked on Capitol Hill for many years at the White House for Ronald Reagan, at the Treasury Department for George H.W. Bush, and his latest book out soon is The Truth Matters, A Citizen's Guide to Separating Facts from Lies and Stopping Fake News in Its Tracks. And he has an article at The Guardian, Donald Trump's Incompetence is a Problem. His Staff Should Intervene. Well, I suppose, given what happened today with Donald Trump pulling out of the Paris Accords, that pretty much indicates that Steve Bannon is the one that's whispering in his ear. And he's been described as a sort of a modern-day White House version of Rasputin or Iago from Shakespeare's Othello in terms of the being the presidential whisperer. What do you think is the appeal there? Because the biggest mystery to me, Bruce Bartlett, is what is going on with the Russians, and why is it that our president seems to go out of his way to be nice to Putin and trash our staunchest allies like Angela Merkel, hangs up on the Australian Prime Minister, insults the South Koreans who are right there on the border with North Korea, etc., and praises a murderous dictator or a murderous leader in the Philippines, and a kleptocrat and a thug who's ruining Turkey, etc. It just doesn't make sense on the broadest level, and you wonder what is the sort of ideological core of, in other words, what is the Trump doctrine? Or maybe we should call it the Bannon doctrine, but do you know what it is?
Well, based on what we've observed and what you've just said, it would seem that our enemies are our friends and our friends are our enemies. That's ridiculous, but it fits the facts. One theory I have heard that I'm sympathetic to is that Trump likes dealing with autocrats and dictators on a one-to-one basis because he doesn't have to worry about democracy being an issue. He doesn't have to worry about, oh, well, we can't do this because we have to get our Congress or our legislature to pass something. If they decide to do something, they just do it. And they flatter his ego, whereas a democratically elected representative such as Chancellor Merkel feels, well, look, you know, we're co-equals. Germany is not the subordinate of the United States. We're a co-equal nation of the world, and she doesn't defer to him, doesn't kowtow to him, doesn't genuflect to him. And so I think these autocrats in places like Saudi Arabia, you know, they give them gold jewelry, you know, they have 21 gun salutes and, you know, dancing soldiers with sabers. And, you know, our childlike president is impressed by that sort of thing.
Well, there's a possibility that, at least it seems consistent, that the one thing that drives Trump in terms of his decisions is some peculiar deep animus he has towards his predecessor, Barack Obama. After all, Trump started that whole calumny about Obama being a Kenyan and not being an American citizen. And if you look at the record of what he's sort of torn up, and particularly starting with today's decision to tear up the Paris Climate Accords, which was one of Obama's biggest signature accomplishments. He's also going after Obamacare, as we know, and he seems to be more determined to tear it up rather than find anything to replace it with. That seems to be not to be the priority. And now, of course, we learn that he's going to reverse Obama on his initiative with Cuba. So could that be an explanation that he just simply, whatever Obama did, I'm going to undo?
I can't argue against that as being the primary motivation. If you look at every initiative that he's done, whether it's an executive order or a law that he's signed to undo a regulation, it certainly appears as if his primary goal in life, or goal as president rather, is to undo everything Obama did. And this fits in with, you know, my theory of the nature of modern American conservatism, which is that it consists of one thing and one thing only. They hate liberals. They hate liberalism. They hate everything that liberals stand for, and and their agenda is updated on a daily basis by looking to see what liberals have said that day. What are they for today? And that's what we're against that day. So they have no positive agenda. You see, they don't have an independent philosophy. It is purely reactionary. That in a sense, liberals are setting the agenda in the negative sense to whatever, therefore, the Republican Party and the President of the United States are against.
But to some extent, the Liberals are a straw man. I mean, look at the state of the Democratic Party. I mean, if they bring back Hillary Clinton as their spokesman, then they really are digging their grave even deeper. I mean, they're not a force to be reckoned with. They're in disarray. I mean, the only way they're going to come back is because Trump is such a catastrophe. So is that a part of the problem? Is it that they?
Well, we have a historical experience with autocratic leaders, and they very often use straw men to say are the nation's enemies, and I think the group that is most vulnerable is the media, because they have power. The Democratic Party has no power. So I think that these increasing attacks on the media, both physical and ideological, is the thing that disturbs me more than anything else, and I'm not really at all sure if the media has the capability to fight back. They seem to be imprisoned by their methodology, the nature of journalism, where they seem institutionally incapable of telling the truth about Trump in terms that would get people's attention. They won't just say the president told another lie today. They don't like to do that, and so they're kind of have one arm tied behind their back, that all they can do is write very bland things about how the president misstated something or whatever, and I think it's a real problem.
Well, the problem may exist in the polls, the most recent one, which indicates that 89% of Trump supporters believe he is honest, trustworthy, and will fulfill his promises, and 78% of Trump supporters believe that the mainstream media propagates fake news. So it's kind of Orwellian what Trump has managed to do. He's managed to get his supporters to believe that what the press prints is fake news, and what he says is the truth, and that is just breathtaking. So how can you chip away at that? Maybe that's the problem the press has, is that they are so hated by Trump's constituency that they don't quite know how to talk to his people.
There's a lot of truth in that. I, on the other hand, I don't know how you deal with somebody who benefits from telling lies. You can't very well contest them, by telling your own lies. You're constrained by the nature of the truth, and I just really don't know what we do, because we've never, I'm not familiar with anything quite like this in a democratic country. You have to go back to things like 1930s Germany and Italy to find, or the old Soviet Union and places like this to find a state-controlled media that just routinely and brazenly lied for the benefit of the state. And we have, unfortunately, a de facto state-run media in this country, which is Fox News, appears to exist for the sole purpose of sustaining the Republican agenda. And they ignore any news that is harmful to their side. They just pretend it doesn't exist. And they hype things that are in essence meaningless, just to try to gin up their viewers to become excited about hating liberals, hating liberalism, and so on.
Well, just in closing, Bruce Bartlett, the adults in the room are supposedly General Mattis and the National Security Advisor, General McMaster, is still an active serving Army officer. My sense is that it's very difficult. When McMaster had to defend Trump recently, he was obviously deeply uncomfortable. And they, of course, he wrote an op-ed, as you know, in the Wall Street Journal, defending the Trump's behavior abroad, which really sort of went against what everybody seems to have seen and heard on television. But nevertheless, I guess the real issue is that you don't want this guy to quit, even if his soul is being sold off bit by bit, defending the indefensible, because you need an adult around, particularly when you've got a president with access to the nuclear codes.
I think that's right, but It's hard to say for sure who the adults are. I mean, some people, mainstream Republicans, thought Rance Priebus, the chief of staff, was going to be the adult who would, you know, keep the children under control. But word is that he's on his way out, and who will replace him, one can only imagine. It's just a very, very dismal, desperate situation.
Well, Bruce Bartlett, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Bruce Bartlett, who worked on Capitol Hill for many years at the White House for Ronald Reagan and at the Treasury Department for George H.W. Bush. His latest book out soon is The Truth Matters, A Citizen's Guide to Separating Facts from Lies and Stopping Fake News in Its Tracks. And he has an article at The Guardian, Donald Trump's Incompetence is a Problem, His Staff Should Intervene. We're going to take a brief station break and back examining the alarming new report on the real terrorist threat facing the nation, and that is that 400 Saudi and Kuwaiti students living in the United States have joined ISIS and other terrorist groups.